Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
How's it going?
It goes.
It goes.
It goes and goes.
I always expect you to be blonde when you walk in.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yep. Puberty really wrecked my hair.
Yeah.
I was blonde. I was like toe head before.
I could have sworn you were more blonde yesterday. Maybe it's the lights.
Oh, okay.
This
bottle of hair color, okay? Yeah.
I thought it was shampoo.
This series was running before you guys were even born. So did that mean, did you feel when you took on the role, was there anything you thought you would have to take some kind of particular care over?
You know, yes and no, I'd say. You know, anytime you approach a property that's been done before and that has a sort of dedicated fan base or people who really enjoy it or remember it nostalgically, you want to be careful, you want to tread lightly because you want to make those people happy. But what we're doing with this one is aiming to make those people happy, but also packaging it in a way that if you don't have the past experience of watching it as a kid or anything like that, you can still go to this movie and understand what's going on and appreciate the characters, whether or not you know who Mr. Waverly is or not. You know, this is a whole new repackaging for people who have seen it and also haven't seen it. So we were cautious and we were careful, but at the same time, we knew we were doing something new.
Okay, fair enough.
We were speaking with Guy about how you want to be careful not to tip things over into parody, into too much irony and self-awareness. And one thing I was thinking about was your accent. You know, you don't want
was
it to sound...
Was it a parody?
No.
The whole movie was serious. Your accent was really goofy.
No, but did you have to try to find a happy medium where you didn't sound too Boris and then Natasha or...
Yeah, or, you know... I think the thing I was trying to do with the accent was just sound as authentic as possible. You know, so it's like, it's funny. If you go back and watch American film, especially from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, every Russian is sort of like an arch character. Like, they are Boris, you know, from Rocky and Bullwinkle. They're the Natasha! Like that. Well, it's like, that's not really how Russians speak. That's sort of like the American interpretation of, they were the bad guy there, they should sound bad, you know, so... That wasn't what I was going for. That wasn't what I was aiming for. I really just wanted to sound as much like a sort of... I wanted the accent to sound as sort of like universally Russian as possible. So, you know, just whatever sort of vowels and sounds I could pick up and hear from native Russian speakers, I would just try to incorporate those into...
Were you listening to radio or something to get the contemporary...
YouTube.
A lot of YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube is, I think, an actor's... greatest friend in terms of research because there's everything on there. Yeah.
And from your point of view, Henry, was there anything you found like difficult or in the same way you had to be careful of?
I think that the hardest thing for me was the accent, because when we started, Guy said, okay, you know, I want something a bit like Clark Gable, but not Clark Gable. And I said, okay, cool. And I sat down with Andrew Jack.
It's kind of mid-Atlantic. Huh?
Yeah. But mid-Atlantic, but there's got to be a date to it as well. Modern mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
And so I sat down with Andrew Jack, our dialect coach, and he ran me through some Clark Gable stuff. We worked on it. We kind of got it down, and then we started shooting. And Guy kept on saying, okay, no, that word sounds wrong, it sounds weird, and come and listen to it. I went, yeah, okay, it sounds weird, and, but what's weird about it? He goes, it just sounds too English, or that one sounds too American, and we had to try and finesse it in different ways. And eventually he just walked out and said, look, it just sounds like you're a Brit who has an American accent. I know you can do one, and people who've seen other movies you've been in know you can do one, but people who haven't just think you're going to be bad. And we need to make it more American. And so eventually, a quarter way through the movie, we then just solidified it as more American. It became an affected American accent, which was transatlantic and dated. And that's what we settled with. And that's why Napoleon sounds the way he sounds now.
Yeah. So there was, you know, we now have an American playing a Russian, British person playing an American. But Solo and Kudiakin as characters themselves, which one do you guys feel closer to? Do you feel closer to Kiriakin or Solo, or do you feel closer to Solo? Or
probably Gabby Teller.
Yeah.
The smartest of the three, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that. You know, I mean, that's kind of the fun of acting, is you get to play all these different roles that really in no way have anything to do with you, and it sort of gives you liberty to be crazy with your art so you can be conservative in your life, you know.
And by the nature of playing a character, you do feel closer to the character you played because you always put a little bit of something of you into each character.
Yeah.
At least the way they look.
Yeah.
But you came up with a...
Yeah, the face.
Yeah.
You have made up your own story about where they were coming from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, what is it?
You know, it's kind of boring actor stuff, but there's, you know, I think... You want to know the backstory of Vivian?
Yeah.
Basically,
how much time do you have?
Yeah, it's
well.
It took
there
about,
was a bright light.
It's about 30 years,
and it was very cold.
So, and I've gone through it
me.
Day by day. So, no, he was basically he was raised in sort of the heart of Soviet Russia. His father was in the military, but then did something politically dishonorable and was sent off to the gulags, like millions of Soviets at the time, and he was dealing with the shame of that, and also he was, you know, I mean, from what they say in the movie, he was sort of a physical specimen, so from a young age, he was sort of chosen and taken and sort of put into government-sponsored schools and training programs where they were sort of breeding him to become the super spy.
The fun kind of school.
Yeah, yeah. You know, where you mess up and they whip you. That's why he doesn't really have any other ambitions except to be the best spy he can be. He's not worried about going home and eating a beautiful plate of risotto with truffles or trying to line his pockets in the middle of a mission. He's just there to do the mission. And I think that's why there's an even more fun rub between the two of our characters.
Yeah.
They're even more diametrically opposed.
Speaking about this atmosphere of the Cold War, is something so far from your life. I mean, for you, I think it's like a period movie because you
it's definitely
born,
a period movie.
Yeah, it is a period movie.
Yeah.
Because anything was finished when you was born. So I don't know for you how it is to thinking about this atmosphere that was so strong. So.
But you say that, but even in today's
age,
we
were alive in the Berlin Wall came down.
We were.
Yeah.
But I remember my brother bringing back a piece of it. In fact, but it was still. Today, there's the idea of constant threat. And much like we've said in a lot of interviews, the great thing about the 60s, and maybe even today as well, is that despite this underlying threat at all times, people are still going about their lives, and the 60s just really, really enjoyed it. Because
mm-hmm.
Right now, I mean, there's always the threat of terrorism nonstop, and especially in America, where you always hear about this and that, and sort of you've got red alert and amber alert and all sorts. So we can appreciate how it may have felt. I mean, it's not quite the same as nuclear apocalypse, but maybe we can be a bit more in tune with it because nuclear apocalypse is something which is really difficult to fathom. Whereas a bunch of people getting hurt is easier to imagine. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which has happened in Turkey.
Yeah.
To prepare your part, have you watched some episode from the original series? You learn something or not at all?
You know, I did watch the original series. I didn't necessarily do it to learn any parts because, you know, David McKellen played the part of Ilya Kuryakin and he did a great job, but it was a very sort of specific role at a very specific time for a very specific show, which is very different from the movie that we're making up. Yet the bones are similar, the characters are all the same, but it's a very different show than our movie. So there wasn't really anything I could pull off of it. More or less, it was just to sort of give myself the historical context and understand why we were making this movie.
You've done a couple of big blockbusters now, both of you. If you were to like cast your mind forward, if you like, and be in the future and looking back on your career, what is it that you would want to see? What would be your ideal? If you like?
I think probably just a great range of different movies, which make a lot of money and are respected, hopefully sort of the same movie.
And to just keep working.
Yeah, and just have consistent work. I mean, Army's now got a fully fledged family and he's got...
Diapers are expensive.
Yeah. He's got school to pay for one day.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Good God. I need to go lay down.
So do you see coming back with us more episodes of this one?
In an ideal world, yeah.
It depends how many people you guys can talk into going to see it.
You've already signed for the sequel.
There was a two movie thing. I forget what the contract is. Yeah. But,
for two or three.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't matter what the contract is, because the
contract... we'll renegotiate.
The contract could be for one movie, for two movies, and then you could still make five movies. They just make a new contract.
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, whatever the contract
is. Or you
is,
can have a contract for five movies, and they make one, and we go,
yeah,
we're pretty good on that.
You have to pay me for five.
Yeah, not quite. I wish.
Just, sorry, to go back to character. So I wanted to talk about Napoleon Solo. It's a very suave character. Guy just previously said, the straight and the loose. So you're the loose. It's a funny one because I actually think that there's almost a you're on a tightrope from being that a suave and a smug character.
Yeah.
What was it about you going through that process to sort of keep it so that the audience didn't fall into the smug area and kept wanting to be invested in Napoleon's plight?
Very good question. And the answer is, often Guy would walk in and say, you know what? Funny, but it seems a little smug. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. And I you have to trust your director on that, because you never know how it's coming across.
Mm.
And he would say, oh, right, bring it back. Or, yeah, I think probably we would find it funny if you... like look at Elio in a particular way and then turn your back on him, but the audience isn't going to like you for it, because what Elio has just done previously, what we've experienced with Elio as an audience, makes you look like a dick. And so it's just trusting a director.
Yeah. And then going to Elio as well, being the straight character, but I personally found you to be the funnier of the two because you play it so straight. I think that because all of these elements, connecting with someone that you, it's ingrained for you to hate, and all of these situations which are so against your ideals, is hilarious, really. Again,
it's funny watching people being put into uncomfortable situations that they don't know how to deal with, and that is pretty much Ilya's life outside of spying,
All the social faculties are just gone.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. So, well, because as has already been mentioned, there is also that sort of predisposition to make it a bit more, a bit more of a parody type thing. So again, it must have been quite a particular moment for you to be able to sort of stay straight without it being stilted and almost slapsticky.
You just kind of had to find the truth in the situation, or else it would get very slapsticky. To be the goofy Russian guy who's all thumbs, who doesn't know how to talk to this person, like that's... it'd be very easy for that to get caricature-y, so it's like you have to find the truth in it. You have to find, why can't he deal with this person? Why is it that he is socially inept? What is the cause of that? And then, just play it like it's not funny. Right.
It must be difficult because, you can't come into a movie like this as an actor without, a plethora of, not what I call baggage, but influences and spy movies. We all know them.
Mm.
Which one... out of, which one would you say perhaps was influencing you most, maybe in the background?
I don't know that there was really one movie per se that kind of influenced this for me. I would honestly be hard pressed to pick my favorite spy movie, to be perfectly honest. I think that what we were doing was so specific, and tonally what we were doing was so different from anything I've ever done, or really anything I've ever seen, because except for maybe some other work that Guy's done before. But we were on a very new path, on a new trajectory, so like Henry said, we just trusted Guy.
Okay.
What about the action scenes themselves? I mean, there's certainly a lot of physicality there that seems to be because it's a bit of a hybrid film, so there is that lot of say the opening scene with the driving, there's sort of that balletic quality to it that's quite elegant, and then when you two finally meet in the toilets and it becomes this brutal moment, so there's that sort of physicality that can be quite graceful but also quite gritty. How was that as actors, as yourself, because it certainly involved you being in the middle of it quite constantly?
I mean, you had probably the most physical of all stuff to do, because the fight, despite it looking very rough, was very short. I mean, it didn't take long to shoot, and it wasn't very complicated. Didn't require much in the way of fitness either.
It's maybe 15 seconds of fighting.
Yeah.
It's quick.
But Army had to run for 3 days straight chasing that bloody car.
I've had better days.
So I think that the real physicality was, it came with army. You had to be fit for that.
Mm. And I'm not the one who's that physically fit. You know? Henry, you know, Superman is sitting in the car relaxing, and I'm up there sweating and running. Oh, God, you got the wrong guy for this job.
It looked like a lot of fun, actually. When you look at a movie, it looks like people have fun doing it. And we talk about yourselves, but, you know, this is a fantastic cast. You know, Hugh Grant's fantastic in this.
Yeah.
And Luca looks like quite a lot
he's
of fun.
Great.
Actually,
he's great. He's great. Yeah.
So I was wondering what the what was it like on set? What was the atmosphere like? You know,
it's
how
fantastic.
Was, how was the
yeah.
relationships between everyone?
Most enjoyable movie I've worked on. Most fun. I mean, we've all walked away as friends. We've all come to see each other again as friends.
Yeah.
It's hard to say more, really. I don't think anyone got any kind of disagreements or tiffs. Or,
no.
It was just relaxed.
Which is rare for a bunch of actors.
Yeah.
Right.
Bunch of emotional drama queens. And
yeah.
It was got a fight.
Yeah, it looked like a good vibe. I remember going down to Chichester to see the racetrack.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it looked like everyone was having such a
how could you not?
A good time. Yeah, yeah. There it was great. Yeah, it was really good. So what would you want to do with the next one? What challenges would you want to take on, do you think?
It's tough to say, really, because I mean how do you top nuclear threat? It's another nuclear threat in a different country. I don't know. But I think the wonder of Guy and Lionel is that you can actually trust them to do the real storytelling. And if you come up with a great idea, they'll go, that's a great idea. Yeah, we're going to do that. And they'll start writing away. Yeah.
Conversely, if you come up with a bad idea, they will not hesitate to tell you.
Yeah, they will slap you down hard.
Yeah.
You see, moving with the times, like maybe the next one in the 70s, 80s, you know, to come to the contemporary.
Yeah,
all of a sudden we're old. pass me my Lipitor.
Well, like it's back
from Grandma.
I think if it ends up being a large franchise, it's probably better to creep slowly as opposed to quickly, because you have to end up like aging us up. It's fun to stay in the 60s. Like, it's a fun period. I think it could be about finding bits of history and, you know, playing around with that. I just don't know. You've got the whole world as a possibility, because this is a worldwide, what's the word, agency, which actually takes care of everything. And so it could be anywhere.
Mm.
And that's the fun of it. It's... We could be in Turkey, we could be in Rio, we could be anywhere in the world.
Let's say somewhere in the Caribbean,
yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah,
the
Caribbean.
This is a little bit closer to this market.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the best job.
Last question.
In Mexico.
Okay. But then a spy always has secrets.
Mm-hmm.
So. Tell a song of yours.
No.
That's also
I figured
not a question.
You'd say that.
I love the hesitation. I was like, is that what he's going to say? He's leaving
yeah,
out a
yeah,
statement.
Yeah.
So tell us some of yours.
Tell us some of yours.
Yeah, like suddenly
yeah.
all the, you know, all these spy programs going on. But, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
From the governments or even this.
This one's all you, go ahead.
I mean, what, so you still ask me to tell you my secrets?
No, I can't waste the last question. He said last question.
About, you play a tortured, moody guy, you know, and this one you're sort of
more casual, yeah.
Casual, sophisticated, debonair. And I mean, do you like shuffling back and forth, having to change the mindset like that?
Absolutely, yeah. It's the joy of being an actor. You get to play these different roles and then see yourself in these sort of imaginary characters. It's fun. I wouldn't want to play the same character over and over again forever. You've got to mix it up and break it up. Otherwise, it just gets a bit boring. And as I say, Napoleon's really fun to play. And as much as Superman's a very stoic character, it's also very cool to be Superman. So, I mean, he's got superpowers. He can do some pretty wild stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is fun to switch and change, is the answer to the question.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you guys.
Brilliant. Appreciate it.